If you have a pen, please get your pen handy. You'll need it in about 7 minutes. We're gonna go fast today. Oh, and I can go fast. I'm a New Yorker. We speed talk. Pentecost is the church's birthday. And the gift that God gives us is the Spirit. And the Spirit is a special gift because it restores distance. What do I mean by that? Let's go on an Old Testament lesson. When God creates man, Adam, from the ground, Genesis says that God and Abraham walked together in the Garden of Eden, side by side in the cool of the day, which means that God was as close to a human being as the person sitting next to you is. But then the fall happens. Thanks, Eve. I'm kidding. Sin enters the world through Adam. We know that. That's Romans 5. But sin enters the world, and then all of a sudden, humanity is expelled from the garden, which creates distance, right? Then throughout the rest of the Old Testament, the Lord appears usually as a cloud, thundering and lightning above Sinai and other places. Or the representative presence of the Lord was known in the Ark of the Covenant. But for a few select people, people that God loved and called for a particular purpose, God gave his Spirit to them. Moses and Joshua and David, they were individuals, and the Levites, while everyone else remained on the periphery. Distance, right? But then humanity couldn't overcome the challenges of the world. So what does God do? God comes a little closer. And he comes closer in the form of God incarnate, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, I believe, lives on earth for approximately 30-something years with a ministry supposedly about 3 years. And in that time, in that nice region of Galilee and Judea and Nazareth and Capernaum, Jesus talks and walks, and God is closer to the people. But God is closer to only a select group of people. So it was one time, it was one individual, then it was a group of people. But humanity couldn't overcome that. So Jesus dies as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And even then, humanity still couldn't get it right, right? So what does God do? God comes even closer. That is Pentecost. God coming full circle from walking side by side with Adam to now living in all who believe. The gift makes up distance. So now, in the old days, you would have to come, okay, pretend it's the tabernacle. You couldn't even come in here. You would have to meet me in my office, tell me what your prayers are, and only I could come in here to this altar and petition on your behalf. Distance. But now, because of Jesus Christ, we don't need an intermediary anymore. We don't need an intercessor. And now, with the Holy Spirit living in each and every one of us, all we can do is go to God on our own. We don't need somebody. We thank God for somebody, because I am that somebody, but we don't need anyone. Distance has been overcome, and now we're able to be side by side. That's the gift of Pentecost. So today, with your index card, I want you to write what your gift to the church is today. What your gift is to the church today. Let's go further. While you're thinking about it, we'll give you time. Let's go further. Anyone ever heard a sermon from Haggai before? Show of hands. Haggai, the book we just read. One, two, three, four, five. All right. So we're in good company. This is one of the most obscure books of the Bible, but it's one of the most powerful books of the Bible because the people are just returning from exile. You read Haggai chapter 1, which I recommend you do when you go home. It's the second year in the reign of Cyrus, which means that the people of Israel just escaped exile. They were in Babylon for 70 years. And now Cyrus says, go home. So now they get to go home, back to the land and the place that they used to have. Imagine being taken away from your homeland or your home and now coming back 10, 15 years later. What does it look like? After people have overcome and occupied it. Looks terrible. So what do the people do? They find their land, their ancestral homeland, and they begin to rebuild. And they rebuild, and they rebuild. Homes start to come up. Those who are merchants start to build their shops and stuff again. But there's one place that hasn't been built up, and that's the temple. See, before, the temple was the biggest thing. It was the center of everything they did, center of commerce, center of life, center of social climbing, was at the temple. But when Nebuchadnezzar comes and smashes the temple, it's nothing. But when the people finally get a chance to go home, the first thing they start to build are their own homes and not the temple. So Haggai gets a message from the Lord, and Haggai talks to the governor and to the high priest, to the leaders first of the community, and says, give careful thought to your ways. You guys are spending time building your homes, but the temple of the Lord is not being built. Which is a nice way of saying, adjust your priorities. Yes, your home will be there, but this place is the center of everything we do. We need it here, and we need it to stand. Now to Haggai 2, what JT just read. Haggai asked the question, do you guys remember what this place used to be? And that's a question for the world. Do we remember what the church is supposed to be? We know what it's supposed to be. It's the place where people learn and love and grow and get healed. It's the place where you can find rest. You can find peace. You can find instruction on how to live. In the 20th century and beyond, it becomes a place where you may find a job fair or a clothing drive or a food pantry. It becomes all of these wonderful places. But Haggai is saying, remember what it was and look what it is now. What are you going to do to build it? And that's the question that God is leaving us on this Pentecost Sunday. Yes, we could have preached from Acts chapter 2, tongues of fire, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Absolutely, we know that. Some of us have been here. We know that story. The story today is, where does the church need to go? And specifically, what is God calling you to do? So I want you to take your index card now. And if somebody doesn't have a pen, we pen shame people before service. I'm not going to pen shame anybody. But if you need to borrow a pen, please, somebody, lend somebody a pen. And you can start writing now as I finish up. When I came here, next month, I'll be here for 3 years. And when I got here, I talked to a lot of people one-on-one. And people said, the church needs to be this, Richard. The church needs to be this. We need to do this. You need to do this. We need to do this. Somebody needs to do this. And I said, okay, let's try it. So we tried a lot of things. But you know what I realized and I've learned in this time? And please put your name on that index card, by the way. I'm going to read it. Only me. Yeah, please put your name on it. I won't share it, but I want to read it. And if it's get a new pastor, that's okay. That's cool. I'm cool with that too. But what I'm saying is, I've learned the secret. Hoyt, I've learned the secret to church. Of course I'm going to share, Dory. The secret of the church is there is no programmatic thing that will solve everything. There's no outreach endeavor that will solve anything. There's no community stuff that will solve anything. You know what the church needs? It needs each individual to make a personal commitment. That's what the church needs. Yes, we could have food drives. Yes, we could have blood drives. Everybody can come in and use the building, but no. The church needs each individual to make a commitment. Some people can give 40 hours a week. Some people can give five. It doesn't matter how many. I'm not coming here saying everyone has to come here every day. No. But the gift of proximity that Jesus Christ gives us, that we can walk with God. The only thing God asks for us is to build this place. God chooses to overcome distance for us out of his great love for us. All he's saying is build it so that somebody else will feel and experience this love too. So our job is to build it. But we could have a whole bunch of theater arts programs here, but it won't work. What works is every individual making a commitment to what God is doing here. So on this Pentecost, where we celebrate the birthday of the church, you know, on your birthday, where you have a revelation of what you want to be for the year, right? This year, I'm going to be this, or this year, I'm going to be that. This year, I'm going to take no mess from nobody. This year, I'm going to make more money. This is the day where we make our declaration of what we're going to be. Because we're working and we're trying to get somewhere. And I'll explain all this next week to you. But we're trying to get to a place. The leadership and I had a conversation years ago. What do we need? The number one thing is we needed a youth person. And look what the Lord did. Which means that anything we ask for, we can give if we believe. So when you write down, what's your gift? What can you bring to the table so that we can do what God has called us to do? In the end of Haggai, verse 8 and 9, Haggai prophesies that if the people do the work, you know the glory that he talked about that old church was? The new glory will outshine the old glory so much so that no one will ever care about the old glory anymore. The new work, the new iteration of what this church will be remembered and exalted for time immemorial. If only the people unite and do the work. That's what God is saying today. So what we need is we need to get together and say, this is the direction of the church. This is where we want to go. This is what we want to see. COVID has made us a one-hour church. If that's our future, then that's our future. Who said ministry can't go on in an hour? Ministry goes on an hour pretty well, I think. But what do you need to do? What does God tell you that you need to bring to the table? We have dreams and hopes and goals for this place. We all do. I'm here to tell you that we can get there, and we will get there. If we do the work, whatever the greatest era in the church's history was, what we do in the future can eclipse that together, which means I need Willis, I need JT, I need Bruce, Kyle, I need you too, calling your name. Joey and Amanda, I need you. God needs you. Miss Grace, God needs you. Anna. Ada, Bob, Dory, Richard, God needs us to do this work. One thing I've learned, and I'm gonna be quiet right now. The togetherness of yesterday blew me away. When I saw people interacting with people they never knew, just to show love to Matt and Chris. This church loves more than any church I've ever been a part of. And I said that before, and I mean that. And for those of you who know, I came out of this huge, large church with this really famous lady. But it may have had 10 times the size of the people we have today. But you know what? The love wasn't anywhere near what this place is. With that foundation of love, we can do even greater things than we've done. But we need everybody. God needs you. If you leave here with nothing I said, those three words, God needs you. What are we going to do about it? So please do not leave here without putting your card in the offering plate, okay? Whatever it is, however real it is, I'm okay with that. But that's going to be the foundation. Today, we're going to say is the foundation, the first day that we brought in the biggest, greatest era in LFCC history. It starts today. You with me? What's the question? The question is, what does God need you to do in this church? What's your gift? What gift are you bringing to this church? And I'm counting too. I'm counting. I know who's in here. And if I don't get a card from you, I know you're in here. I'm going to come to your house. I'm going to make you fill one out in front of me. Oh, it is a promise. I'll go to Athens. There's no confidentiality. Sorry, Miss Mabel. Not today. I love you all. And I know that we have a great love here that people need. I just read that child suicides are the highest they've ever been. People need us. The world needs us. It's serious, people. It's serious, y'all. The world needs us. So let's come together and figure out how we do that together. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. The greatest gift, Lord, on the birthday of the church is the power of your presence within us. That when I'm about to make a mistake, I hear you say, don't do that. Or when I'm alone and hurt in my room and no one's around, I hear you say, it'll be okay, Richard. That's the beauty of the Spirit. And the same Spirit that talks and lives in me is the same Spirit that lives among us all. A great gift, the greatest gift, because humanity can't do it alone. But Lord, there are people who need to feel your presence and your Spirit. And we need to be the ones to be ready to bring that on. So use us, God, every age, every stage, from the youngest to the not so youngest. In our interactions with our family, with our friends, with the mailman, with the lady who does our hair, with the guy who cuts our hair, with the lady at the checkout counter, with the people who come here to these doors looking for help. Use us, God. Continue to use us because you've used us already. Use us in a greater way. Lord, we thank you for the universal church that continues to be a source of healing in a dark world. But we thank you for the light that lives at 3495 Sugarloaf Parkway. Use us to be the light. Help us discern where the light should shine and help us to do all we can to attract people to this light. We want to do greater things, Lord. We want to extend the love that we feel one with another to those who need love the most. So use us and bless us on this wonderful day. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Use us to make sure that as many people in this community will be able to confess and profess that on the last day. Use us in a powerful way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.